During seminary, all Unitarian Universalist ministers are required to do one unit of clinical pastoral education, known as CPE. They usually perform these 400 hours of chaplaincy in a hospital setting, and this work is terrifying to most of us. Most of us want to be ministers, but we do not really want to roam the halls of a hospital making cold calls on patients. Nothing can get you into trouble faster than walking into a hospital room and saying, "Hi, I'm the chaplain." Swift rejection or instant misunderstanding often quickly follow. When a chaplain shows up, the non-religious people wonder if their doctor has told them that it's worse than they thought. And the really religious people want to make sure that you are their kind of religious. UU chaplains have both an advantage and a disadvantage in this work. We are flexible, and some would say maybe a little too flexible. We can say the Lord's Prayer or read the 23rd Psalm with a clear conscience, but if the patient really wants a Catholic priest or a Baptist minister or a rabbi, we're not going to entirely fit the bill. Add to all of this that most seminarians have had little or no training before our unit of CPE. It is, in fact, the training itself. Rather, most of us have tried to avoid hospitals as much as we could. These things being the case, a green chaplain can get herself into trouble pretty quickly. It's a good thing that most people in the hospital are just happy to see any friendly face. During my unit of CPE, I was assigned to the skilled nursing unit, a place where most of the people were really too ill to ever leave the hospital. What did I sign up for? I asked myself many times that long, hot summer. As in a nursing home, most of my patients were expected to die within months. One patient was Miss Rose. Miss Rose was an elderly black woman who had been on my floor for just a few days when I started. She and I struck up an easy relationship because she just assumed that I was Baptist like she was. And I was way too scared to tell her any different. Miss Rose and I read a bit from the Bible each day. We prayed the Lord's Prayer, and then I would move on to see other patients. I couldn't tell if Miss Rose was improving or not. One day I heard my name called over the hospital intercom. I was to report to the skilled nursing unit to help a patient. It was Miss Rose. She was pretty worked up when I got into her room. "I'm going home," she cried, sweat pouring off her. "I'm going home, I'm going home." Having had just enough pastoral care instruction to be dangerous, I naturally assumed that she was dying. For you see, in Baptist speak, "I'm going home" is closely followed by "swing low, sweet chariot." The person is checking out of this life. "It's all right, Miss Rose," I said. "You can go home." For the next half hour or so, I tried to get her to calm down a bit more. If she was dying, then it was my job to help ease her through. I was the chaplain, after all. "I'm going home, I'm going home," she repeated, over and over, relaxing into the finality of her own words. Just when I was certain that she was about to breathe her last breath, a thrilling and terrifying moment for a new chaplain, her daughter showed up to take her home. Imagine the look on my face when Miss Rose was helped into a wheelchair and rolled down the hall and out of the hospital. Easter is about dying to something old, really dying, and hoping to be reborn. That summer, trying to be a chaplain in a hospital, the immature, false, prideful desire to be a minister died in me, and something much better was reborn. That summer, as patient after patient really did die, I learned that a chaplain can be a powerful witness to death without having to do much at all. That summer, as family after family said tearful goodbyes, I learned that love is as strong as death. I learned that one can really love fiercely, lose it all, and then move on. One can die and be reborn again, over and over again, if necessary. We cannot ever have Easter Sunday without Good Friday. We cannot have joy in life without its accompanying sorrow. Anyone who will tell you any different is a charlatan. Do not listen to that person. Now, I do not buy for one minute that Jesus' death was necessary or foreordained or good. Jesus' death was a horrible thing. And it was precisely the ordeal that his followers faced that brought them together again after it was all over. The hardships they faced made it possible for them to see Jesus again, risen and alive, days after they thought that his work was put to an end. Because their love for him was as strong as death, they remembered his words and his deeds. They handed his story down from generation to generation, and they built a religion around his idea, his radical idea, that the kingdom of God was for everyone, male and female, rich and poor, Jew and Gentile, and everyone in between. I have no doubt that the disciples experienced Jesus again after his death. This is not such a strange thing to have happen when you think about it. Think of the times people you have loved and lost have appeared in your thoughts and in your dreams. The difference with Jesus is that his death and resurrection began a beautiful, kind, inclusive new community. For 2,000 years, his words and his actions have inspired people to work for a better world for everyone. In the ancient Jewish text, the Song of Solomon, the writer of that text says, "Seal me." It says, "Set me as a seal upon your heart, a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death. Many waters cannot quench it, nor can the floods drown it. Set me as a seal upon your heart and a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death." No matter what we think of God or Jesus or religion, we can safely agree that love is strong. We can safely agree that it is love, and not necessarily the romantic kind, but the fierce, stubborn kind that changes things. Love makes things better. The ancient Hebrew poetry in the Song of Solomon is attributed to King David, the greatest and best loved of the Jewish kings. It is not by accident that the author of the gospel attributed to Luke has Jesus born in Bethlehem, the city of David, or that this writer makes sure that we know that the inscription on the cross above Jesus' head read, "This is the King of the Jews." For early Christians, linking Jesus to David was important, just as David's words would have been important to Jesus' Jewish identity when he was alive. "Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is strong as death," David writes. We immediately notice that he does not say, love is stronger than death. David even repeats himself to make sure that we understand him to say, love is as strong as death. But why would this distinction be important, especially on Easter when it is clear that death could not defeat Jesus? I think that there is something radical in giving love and death equal power. I think there is something profoundly religious in rejoicing in Easter with the taste of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday still on our tongues. If love and death are the strongest things David can think of, then it is clear to us what we must do to live well. We must love fiercely, and we must acknowledge our own mortality. Reverend Forrest Church was known for saying, religion is the human response to being alive and having to die. The question for each of us this Easter morning is, how will we respond to life? The end is the same for each of us. We will each die. There is no escape. But how shall we live? That is the question. In his own congregation of All Souls Unitarian Church in New York City, Forrest Church gained fame for giving farewell sermons. A prolific writer and speaker, Church wisely focused his energy on publishing in 2006 after receiving a cancer diagnosis. He wanted to get as many of his thoughts on paper as he could, so he let go of much of the work of running the church. When he was finally too weak to lead the services on a Sunday morning, he gave a farewell sermon. You can imagine the tears and the well wishes. Their minister was dying. And then Reverend Church got better. The cancer eased up, and he had more energy. Love and death were battling it out inside his body. Months later, when death seemed to get the upper hand again, he preached another farewell sermon. Tears and well wishes again, but also a curiosity about where all of this was going. Over the course of a couple of years, Church said goodbye and nearly died over and over again. It began to be a joke in the church that whenever he was going to stand up and deliver one of his now famous farewell sermons, that he might not make it through that morning. I'm sure some people showed up just to see if it would happen then and there. Forrest Church died of esophageal cancer in New York City on September 24th, 2009. He's buried in Morris Hill Cemetery in Boise, Idaho. It was the mutual love between a minister and his congregation that kept the battle between love and death a fair fight. Death won. Everyone knew it would, but not before love kept it at bay for a long, long time. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death. Many waters cannot quench it, nor can the floods drown it. Set me as a seal upon your heart and a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death. Miss Rose did not appear again on the skilled nursing unit that summer. She had indeed gone home. I don't know if she died there shortly after or if she had much more time with her family. It does not matter. Her resurrection from a hospital ward known for its death rate was enough for me. As a frightened young adult minister to be, it was enough to know that one of my new parishioners had made it out. Whether I had helped or not, she had gone home. And I can still see her as clearly in my mind's eye as the day I met Miss Rose. Small, wrinkled, bony, and bent, Miss Rose had lived well, she had loved well, she recovered enough to leave the hospital. The stone was rolled back from the door of her tomb. She was alive, and so are we. How will you live the beautiful days that are before you? Where will you find resurrection? So be it. Amen.
Amen.